Winston Churchill who proclaimed, "Never give up. Never, 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 never give up." That is good advice in most situations. But sometimes it is necessary to give up, to turn around, to let go. Coming back from Hawaii, I brought Peter John a special surprise. It was a silk type kite. It was black with a Jolly Roger emblem on the front of it. Quite large. And we were anticipating and waiting for the first wind to come that we might assemble the kite and put it up in the air. Coming home Wednesday in the afternoon, the wind was blowing. Peter John greeted me and said, "Daddy, can we fly our kite?" And so I said, "Sure." We got the kite out and began to put it together. Hooked the string up to it, and then Peter John and Tammy and myself and Jesse and Christy and Uncle Jimmy, who was also on the scene, went out in front of my house and began to test the kite, and man, it took nosedive after nosedive after nosedive. It seemed as though it needed a tail, but the instructions specifically said no tail is necessary. It's a tailless kite. So Tammy and Jimmy and myself played around with it and tried all sorts of different jerry-rigging on it. I was just about ready to give up when I thought, one more time, and we went out to the front street, and Tammy held the kite, and I was at the other end, and Peter John was watching, and Uncle Jim was laughing. And I took a few steps with the kite, and Tammy let go, and suddenly the kite started to sail up. It went up and up. I was stoked. I was excited. Peter said, "Daddy, let me hold it. Let me hold it. Just a minute, Peter. Just a minute." It was going higher and higher and farther out when suddenly it happened. It began to spin wildly in the air right around the power lines that were going across our street and down our street. And I stood there holding this kite with about 300 feet of string out, being wrapped around the power lines. And I tell you, every statistic that I heard in elementary school came running into my mind. Statistics that you've all heard when you were in second, third, and fourth grade, that the leading cause of death in the world is not war. It is not cancer. It is not heart disease. It's kites. Kites being caught up in power lines. I stood there saying, "Jimmy, Jimmy, go get the scissors. Cut the string." Jim said, "Uh-uh." And I stood there holding this spool with the string all the way extended, the kite spinning around the power lines crazily, not sure of exactly what to do. I said, "Peter, I'm going to have to let go. I'm going to have to let it go." "Oh, Daddy, don't let it go. I've got to, Peter. I'll fry." And at that time, my little daughter, Jessie, started to scream. She started to cry, "Don't fry, Daddy! Don't fry!" Well, I let go of the kite, and it sailed on further down the street and finally ended up tangled up in a tree high above, believe it or not, Uncle Jimmy's house. So above his house, there's a Jolly Roger kite. If you're cruising down Hunter Lane, look for it. You'll see it. I let go of the kite, but I saved my life. There is a time when we have to let go. There is a time when we have to give up. There is a time when we have to turn around. And in our text today, we come to an interesting, intriguing story of a man who had to give up, who had to let go and turn around. His name? Abner. The name Abner means enlightening. He was an individual who spent most of his life fighting against David. But there came a time when he turned around and joined with David. He is a wonderful illustration, an important picture of people who spend much of their lives fighting against the Son of David, Jesus Christ. But finally, they let go. They give up. They turn around and begin to follow after Jesus Christ and become enlightened, even as Abner's name so means. In this story, I want you to note three things. First of all, his fighting against David. Secondly, his following after David. And thirdly, his favor with David. Abner. His fighting against David, then his following after David, and thirdly, his favor with David. We read in chapter 2, verse 8, Abner, the son of Ner, captain of Saul's host, took Ishbosheth, the son of Saul, and brought him over to Mahanaim, and made him king over all of Gilead, over the Asherites, over Jezreel, over Ephraim, over Benjamin, over all of Israel. Ishbosheth, Saul's son, was 40 years old when he began to reign over Israel, and he reigned 2 years. But the house of Judah followed David. And the time that David was king in Hebron over the house of Judah was 7 years and 6 months. Here's the scene. As you know, Saul had been chasing David, seeking to destroy David. But the day had come when Saul, there on Mount Gilboa, met with his death. He died. He's out of the scene. Abner was Saul's cousin. Abner was devoted to Saul and was the commander of Saul's forces. And so after Saul had died, Abner went and found Saul's son Ishbosheth and said, "You are going to be king now. You are going to ascend to the throne." The tribes of Judah and Benjamin, however, acknowledged that David was going to be the next king. And so now we see, if you would, a split in the nation of Israel. Ishbosheth ascending to the throne, but Judah acknowledging that David was the rightful heir to the throne. Abner, in his heart, as we are going to see, knew all along that David was God's chosen man. And yet, he found himself fighting against David. Why? First of all, I believe, because of family ties. He was linked to his cousin. He was loyal to his cousin. He stood by his cousin. He had great association with his cousin. Family ties are strong ties. And he could not reject those family ties very easily. So too, there are people who are fighting against the Son of David, Jesus Christ. Why? Well, what would my husband say? What would my parents say? What would my wife say? I can't allow division to come within my family. It is easier if I just don't deal with it. Family ties. Abner, I'm sure, felt as though he would be disloyal to his family. and would cause division within his family if he went and sided with David. So instead, he fought against David in placing Ishbosheth on the throne. We do care what our family says about us. There's no question about that. A few weeks ago, when I was on the island of Maui, there's a beautiful beach called Kaanapali in which the fish in that particular region are so prolific, so tame, that they'll swarm around you, and if you have bread in your hands, they'll come and eat right out of your hands. It's incredible. And as we were skin diving around the rocks of Kaanapali, I noticed some of the guys that were locals there had went to the very highest point of that rock cliff that was about, 700, 800 feet up. Not really, it was about 60 feet up probably. And they were jumping off the rock. And all the people on the beach were watching them, and some folks were taking pictures of them. And I saw Tammy watching these guys jump off the rock. She's going, "Boy, those guys have guts." These guys were, you know, young kids, you know. And so I said, "Well, I could do that." And Tammy said, "Well, I know you can, but don't do it, man. You'll hurt your back." And that was it. "This is my bet." "No, come on." So I went over to the ledge of that particular rock face and climbed up the top. And halfway up, I tell you, sweat began to break out on my face. I was terrified, but I looked down at Tammy, and she was watching me, and she had our camera in her hand. And these young guys were jumping off and stuff, and I thought, "What do I do here?" So I finally made it to the top. My feet were bloodied from climbing on the rock. And as I was there at the top of that peak there at Kaanapali Beach, another guy jumped off and people were watching this scene. And I stood out on the ledge. Terror filled my heart. You know, I really was faced with a dilemma. If I had been there alone, I would have climbed back down. But because Tammy was there, I thought, I've got to do it. And so, standing there at the edge, the hours passed. And finally, I took the leap in what seemed like eternity. Dropping through the air, I finally found myself crashing into the water. The water was only about 2.5 feet deep. With cutting coral embedded in the sand underneath. No, it was more than 2 feet deep. But as I crashed into the water, I thought, surfacing up, I knew that I had survived. And you know, as I swam towards the shore, Tammy was there clapping. And we have a picture of it that's framed now in our house. But the only reason I did that foolish thing really was because of family connection. I just wanted to impress my bride. Maybe some of you today are finding that you're doing foolish things or reluctant to take that leap of faith because you don't want to cause hassles within your family, you don't want to be disappointing to your family, and you want to be doing your own thing, making it on your own. I think that was the case with Abner. Family ties, there was also occupational considerations. He was general of the army, powerful individual. And if indeed he changed sides, if indeed he switched allegiances, where would that place him occupationally? David already had his military regime. He already had his leadership established. There'd be no place for him. It would cost him occupationally. It would also cost him socially. People would accuse him of disloyalty, of being a turncoat. And this pressure, no doubt, was mounting around Abner. And so for years, he remained loyal to the house of Saul, to Ishbosheth. And he fought against David. But then something happened. He began following after David. Why? Why did he change directions? Why did he give up the position that he had in the household of Saul? Two reasons. First of all, he was disturbed by his lifestyle. We read in verse 12, Abner, the son of Ner, and the servants of Ishbosheth, the son of Saul, went out from Mahanaim to Gibeon, and Joab, the son of Zeruiah, and the servants of David went out and met together by the pool of Gibeon. And they sat down, the one on the one side of the pool, and the other on the other side of the pool. So two armies meeting by the pool of Gibeon, a small lake actually. And Abner, who was the general for Saul's forces, or Ishbosheth's forces, said to Joab, who was the general of David's forces, "Let the young men now arise and play before us." And Joab said, "Let them arise." So there arose and went over by number 12 of Benjamin, which pertained to Ishbosheth, the son of Saul, and 12 of the servants of David. And they caught every one his fellow by the head, and thrust his sword in his fellow's side, so they all fell down together. Then verse 17, there was a very sore battle that day, and Abner was beaten, and the men of Israel before the servants of David. As these two armies gathered around the pool there at Gibeah, Abner and Joab began to shout across the pool, "Let's see some action between your fine young fighters and my fine young fighters. Let them play together." Now, their playing was rather rough. For these men went out, and if you would, they dueled. They mixed it up. And these 12 from each side began to thrust each other through with their swords, and all of them ended up dying. The duel, if you would, solved nothing. Suddenly, a war broke out after that play action took place. And then, as the war began to progress, the men of David, led by Joab, began to whip on brutally the men of Abner. Abner suffered real loss in the battle. And the rest of the chapter relates how brutal the losses were. He lost out battle. He was disturbed by this. It had an effect upon him. He found himself killing men that he didn't want to kill, doing things that he didn't want to do. And we'll look at that more in depth this Wednesday evening. But suffice it to say, he was losing battles, and this caused him to begin to have a change in heart. Dear friend, the Lord allows us to lose battles that we might have a change of heart. You find yourself battling, saying things you wish you wouldn't have ever said, fighting fights you wish you would have never entered into, experiencing losses that are real setbacks for you financially or in your health, in your occupation or reputation. You find yourself losing battles. Note, that is all preparatory for what the Lord is doing in you. It is all indicative of His calling on you. Listen, if you are walking in a godless way, if you don't know the Lord, and your life is going well, and you are prospering and losing no battles, I feel very sorry for you. Because it can mean that the Lord really is not working on you. He's simply letting you go, having your way. But if today you are finding yourself losing battles and struggling. You find yourself wondering and wandering, questioning and confused. It is because the Lord is allowing you to see the vanity of fighting against the greater than David, Jesus Christ. He was losing battles. Secondly, he was also experiencing loose morals. We read in chapter 3, verse 6, "It came to pass, while there was war between the house of Saul and the house of David, that Abner made himself strong for the house of Saul. Now Saul had a concubine whose name was Rizpah, the daughter of Aiah. And Ishbosheth said to Abner, Wherefore hast thou gone in unto my father's concubine? What are you doing, Abner? Why have you taken my father's concubine? Why have you taken advantage of the situation? Why have you exploited her?" Which indicates that Abner was experiencing a moral looseness in his life. You see, Saul had died. In that culture at that time, any man who would take the concubine or wife of a leader, a ruler, a king who had died would be showing an act of contempt for that leader, that ruler, that king. It was a sign of rebelliousness. And that is why Ishbosheth is so incensed here. What are you doing taking Saul's concubine? But Abner evidently was experiencing a time of moral looseness. He was out of control. Maybe today you are looking at your lifestyle and you are disgusted with it. You're disgusted with your lifestyle, the losing battles and the loose morals. And you wonder, what is going on? I don't like who I am. I don't like what I've become. I don't like what's coming down. I'm losing battles. My moral life is not what it once was, what I want it to be, what I know it could be and should be. All of these things were creating in Abner a desire to forsake the old, turn away from the house of Saul, and make a move towards David. And I believe the Spirit of God is showing some of us here today that the losing battles that are coming down around us and the loose morals that are coming out through us are indicative to us of a disturbing lifestyle. Not only was he disturbed with his lifestyle, but also take note, he was disgusted with his leader. For after Ishbosheth, his leader, made this accusation, watch how he responds. Verse 8, "Abner was very wroth for the words of Ishbosheth." Ishbosheth, by the way, his name means man of rottenness. And he was upset with this man of rottenness and said, "Am I a dog's head which against Judah do show kindness this day unto the house of Saul thy father, to his brethren, to his friends, and have not delivered thee into the hand of David, that thou chargest me today with a fault concerning this woman? You're treating me like a dog." Abner's confused here. He's upset here. He's reacting here. "I have stood by you, Ishbosheth. The only reason you're still in power is because of me. And now you're treating me like a dog." Came across an article. Libby Riddles, who won the 1,135-mile Alaskan dog sled race, said she'll use the $50,000 prize money for a trip to Hawaii for herself and a box of biscuits for her dogs. Down, Rover. Brutal. Here the dogs pulled her 1,135 miles through terribly rugged terrain. They were the ones that won the race. She's going to Hawaii, and they're getting some biscuits. And that's basically what Abner's saying here. Am I a dog's head? You're treating me like a dog. I've propped you up. I've kept you in power. And now you are condemning me. You're coming down on me. Back off. You also will feel and experience a disgust within your heart for the leader of your life, if that leader is Satan himself. Because you see, if you are not being led by Jesus Christ, the Word of God declares you are being controlled by Satan himself, the prince of the power of this air. He is controlling you. And what he does, not only does he trip you up in sin, but after you sin, he comes on the scene and condemns you and accuses you and makes you feel rotten. He is a man of rottenness, even as Ishbosheth is here. He will come after he seduces you into sin. He will then condemn you for the sin, and it's tough, and it's brutal, and you feel like a dog. Abner had had it. Aware of losing battles, aware of loose morals, disgusted with his lifestyle, disgusted with his leader, he says, that's it. And now we see him turning the corner, changing sides. He declares to Ishbosheth, verse 9, so do God to Abner, and more also, except as the Lord hath sworn to David, even so I do to him, to translate the kingdom from the house of Saul, and to set up the throne of David over Israel and over Judah, from Dan even to Beersheba. From the north to the south, I am turning over the kingdom right now to David. Ishbosheth could not answer Abner a word because he feared him. Abner changes sides. And I find this word interesting in verse 10, to translate the kingdom from the house of Saul and to set up the throne of David. Paul uses the same word when he says in Colossians chapter 1, we give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have to all the saints, giving thanks to the Father who has made us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, and delivered us from the power of darkness by translating us into the kingdom of his dear Son. We have been translated. Once in the kingdom of darkness, gang, we are now in the kingdom of light. Once fighting against the son of David, we are now following after the son of David. And here Abner makes his switch. He changes sides. He translates the kingdom of Ishbosheth, the kingdom of Saul, over to the kingdom of David. And so, as he does this, Abner, in verse 17, communicated with the elders of Israel, saying, ye sought for David in times past to be king over you. Now then do it. Would you underline that? He goes to the elders of Israel, those who were loyal to Ishbosheth, and said, you looked to David in times past. You wanted David in times past. Now then do it. For the Lord hath spoken of David, saying, by the hand of my servant David, I will save my people Israel out of the hand of the Philistines and out of the hand of all their enemies. After he makes his switch of allegiance, he goes back and says, everybody switch, do it. Go for it. Now is the time. In the past, you knew that you delighted in David and wanted to follow after David. Now do it. Gang, that's the message which I bring to you today. Now is the time. In the past, when you've heard the gospel preached, in the past, when you've understood something of the loveliness of Jesus Christ, in the past, when you've desired to walk with Him, to spend time in fellowship with Him, devoting your life to service for Him, now is the time to do it. Now. Now. Not tomorrow, not next week. But make your commitment today, saying, now, I'm going for it. That's what he said. Now do it. He follows David. Thirdly, notice not only his fighting against David, his following after David, but his favor with David. Was it an easy transition? I'll tell you what happened. After he went and preached to his own people saying, switch sides! You're fighting on the wrong side. Follow David. He then met with Joab, who was David's general. And Joab said, Ab, I want to talk to you. And he took Abner apart quietly and he stuck a knife under Abner's fifth rib and assassinated him brutally. Is the Christian life easy? Changing sides means that your problems go away? Not by a long shot. I'm sorry to say, and it hurts me to declare, that sometimes even those who are generals in God's army will take you aside and plunge a knife, cut you down. Those who should be most loving and most kind to you will inflict pain upon you. I'm sorry to say that there are difficulties. And the Lord told us that. If any man come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow after me. There are difficulties. There's no doubt about it. But let me ask you something. When that knife went through Abner, and when he fell to his death on the ground in a pool of his own blood, as his spirit ascended into paradise, do you think he was bummed? Do you think he would have wished, oh man, I wished I would have fought against the anointed of God, David. I wish I would have continued on in my struggle against David. I wish I would have hung on to my family ties, to my occupational security, to my easier lifestyle. No. And dear friend, I want to tell you something. Every one of you where you're sitting right now is in the process of dying. You're on your way to eternity. Man, you're rushing there. You're racing there. You'll be there before you know it. And as you sit there, if you remain in the camp of Ishbosheth, if you remain loyal to the house of Saul, if you continue fighting against David or ignoring the calling of the son of David, there'll come a time when your soul will be separated from your body and you'll be ushered into eternity. And there the son of David will look at you and say, depart from me, I never knew you. And you will find yourself in outer darkness where there is weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And millions of years will transpire. And you'll cry out to God, but your voice will not be heard. You opted for an easier life now, only to find yourself losing eternally. You see, after Abner died, notice the favor he found. When David heard it, verse 28, the assassination of Abner, he said, I and my kingdom are guiltless before the Lord forever from the blood of Abner, the son of Ner. Verse 31, David said to Joab and all the people that were with him, rend your clothes and gird you with sackcloth and mourn before Abner. And King David himself followed the coffin. And they buried Abner in Hebron. And the king lifted up his voice and wept at the grave of Abner, and all the people wept. And the king lamented over Abner and said, "Died Abner as a fool dieth? Thy hands were not bound, nor thy feet put into fetters. As a man falleth before wicked men, so fellest thou." And all the people wept again over him. And when all the people came to cause David to eat meat while it was yet day, David swore, saying, "So do God to me, and more also, if I taste bread or anything else till the sun go down." And all the people took notice of it, and it pleased them, as whatsoever the king did pleased all the people. For all the people and all Israel understood that day that it was not of the king to slay Abner the son of Ner. And the king said unto his servants, "Know ye not that there is a prince and a great man fallen this day in Israel?" David here is acknowledging the greatness of Abner. You see, in closing, let it be known that Abner, in preaching a simple message to his people, "Follow after David. You've desired him in the past. Do it now." Little did he know, for he died too soon to see, that 18,000 fighting men transferred their allegiance from the household of Ishbosheth to become part of the kingdom of David. 18,000 were saved by his simple message, "Do it now. Go for it. It's time." They did, and many were translated. So too, you might sit there today and think, "I'm too old. I'm 40. I'm 60. I'm 80. Whatever. I'm too old. No good can come from me." Listen, that one message which you preach as you change allegiances, that one statement that you make, that one proclamation that you cry out, can make all the difference in the world. And the Son of David, when he sees you, Jesus Christ, will give favor to you, even as David looked at Abner and exalted him. Dear friend, I hope that if today should be the day that you die, or the day should be the day when the Lord returns, that you will find yourself translated into the kingdom of Jesus Christ, the Son of David. Don't fight any longer against him. I call upon you lukewarm Christians. Maybe you yourself are experiencing today losing battles or loose morals. I call upon you today to consider carefully, is the Lord allowing unhappiness and uneasiness to take place in your life because your allegiance is not solid, your commitment is not sincere? I call upon you to consider, who are you fighting for? What side are you really on? To turn to Him today. He will abundantly pardon. He will embrace you and welcome you if you turn to Him. That's what repentance means, to change directions. This is the day to repent. This is the day to turn away from the house of Ishbosheth, the man of rottenness, and say we are now in the household of Jesus Christ, the man of holiness. May the Lord help each one of us to make the right decision in this day, in Jesus' name. Let's pray.